just welcome everybody. Hope you're kind of enjoying being with us, just to kind of bring you into the picture of what we're talking about this morning. Over this term, we've been thinking about discipleship. And when we kind of thought about how we wanted to do that, we've kind of separated it into three areas. And there's one area in particular we're focusing on this term. The three areas are our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, and our relationship with the world. And so this term, we've been thinking particularly about our relationship with God. Next term, actually, we've decided we're not going to have a break. We're going to carry on and think of the next area, our relationship with each other. But this term, it's been all about our relationship with God. And we've been particularly thinking about what it means for us to kind of have our roots firmly fixed in God. So we've been thinking about our devotional lives. We've been thinking about solitude, finding time alone with God, the importance of hearing God's voice. Next week's subject is going to be kind of centering in on digging deep in God's word. But today we're thinking about this gift of tongues that kind of gets referred to in the passage that Mary read for us earlier. And it may seem a bit of a strange thing. Of all the things you could choose to speak about when you speak about kind of what it means to kind of to grow our relationship with God, why pick on this particular one? And I've done it because it feels to me like it's become a bit of a forgotten gift. It's almost kind of, at times it feels like it's treated like the embarrassing relative in the family as far as spiritual gifts are concerned for the church. We don't know quite what to do with it, and it kind of gets tucked away. And actually, it seems to me that's particularly bad news, because one of the things we've been trying to think about our relationship with God is, you know, how do we can keep a relationship with God going actually when it's tough, when life isn't going like you would want life to be going? And it seems to me, just in my own experience, one of the things that somehow kept me going when everything else seems to be falling apart actually is using that gift of tongues. It's something that somehow kept me latched onto God when it almost feels like everything else is going to break away. And that's one of the reasons I particularly wanted to speak about it today. So what is the gift of tongues? Well, it's a spiritual gift. It's as simple as that. That's what Paul's talking about in this passage in Corinthians. He's kind of talking to the church in Corinth about the gifts that God gives by his Holy Spirit, and there are lots of them. He talks about how God gives different gifts to different people, and particularly he's talking about the context of worship and how those gifts are to be used when God's people come together in worship. So that's the particular context that's going on there. And he says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue, verse 2, doesn't speak to men, but to God. He utters mysteries with his spirit. So it's kind of a gift of a prayer language that enables us to pray to God in words that he gives us when we run out of our own words. And kind of, some of you probably think, I never run out of words, I speak too much. But often there are times in life, actually, when we just don't know what to pray or how to pray. And it's at times like that when this gift can make such a difference. A little of the context then, as I said, he's writing to the Corinthian church about the use of all the gifts and how they're used in worship. He's actually writing because this is a church that's become obsessed with tongues. To the point that kind of it seems like it's all that matters to them, and they've lost sight of everything else. And so he's trying to bring back some balance in that and help them put it into context. So he points to other gifts, to prophecy. He says that tongues edifies the individual. Edifies means to build up the individual. Prophecy builds up the church. So verse 4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So kind of in this context of worship, he's saying, actually, it's better that someone shares a prophecy because everyone can hear it and understand it. If you speak a tongue, it might be building you up, but it's not building anybody else up. He also goes on to say, well, if you are going to use it in church, then there's another gift you need to use with it, and that's the gift of interpretation. So actually, kind of what's in the tongue is explained when someone is kind of shown what that means by the Holy Spirit. But what's interesting is it's clear that he's not against tongues, because he goes on in verse 18, which is kind of past where we read, to thank God that he speaks in tongues kind of more than any of them. So kind of that's kind of the background of what Paul's talking about, particularly when he talks about this in this passage. The thing I really want to pick up on a moment is kind of what it means for tongues to edify us, to build us up, because I think that's what we need to understand if we're thinking about what it means for us, our roots to be in God and for us to grow in our faith. But let's just take it one step further first. Let's set tongues kind of in a wider New Testament context. Because it seems in the wider New Testament, it seems to work in two ways. The most common way is the one that Paul is describing here, where it seems to be like a prayer language that enables the believer to go beyond the limitation of their kind of rational thought and rational speech in their prayer to God and their relationship with God. But the other way that it seems to happen and seems to work is sometimes when the person still won't know what they're praying. It's a language that they're praying in their spirit, but actually it's another kind of earthly language, a language used somewhere else. Obviously, the classic example of that is the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were first filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says tongues of fire rested on their heads. They erupted in praise to God. And part of their praise to God was that they were praising him in languages that they didn't know and they'd never learned that the Spirit had enabled them to speak. So just kind of let me read you that little bit from Acts 2. It says they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And it just seems to be that one of the things that happens often when someone is filled with the Spirit is that there's a release in tongues. And that's what happened there on the day of Pentecost. And then it says, now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? Actually, the reason they're saying that is, kind of, they come from the rough part of the country. They're not very educated. How would they know these languages? How is it then that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does it mean? And some made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. And then Peter addresses the crowd and he says, fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you what's happened. These people aren't drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Just a couple of things to note. They heard them speaking in their own languages. I can actually think of a few contemporary examples of that. One's too long to tell, but the short one dates back to the first Gulf War, when there was an English serviceman praying in his tent and praying in tongues, and he had not a clue what he was praying. He was just using his prayer language in his devotional life with God, when suddenly a Saudi officer comes into his tent and starts asking him questions and saying, you know, tell me more about Jesus. And he says, well, I wasn't talking about Jesus. He says, yes, you were. You were talking about Jesus in my language. I heard you talking about Jesus in my language. And so when he was praying, it was a bit like the day of Pentecost. He was praying in a language that the Spirit had given, but actually it was a language that clearly was understood by the Saudi officer. It was a dialect that he understood. And very, very similar in a way to that. So kind of that's certainly what's going on here. The other thing, interestingly, though, is even though they could hear them speaking in their own languages, and often kind of people go with tongues, well, it just feels like it's gobbledygook. You know, how can you say that's a language? I don't understand it. You don't understand it. How do we really know that's a language? Even though that was a language they understood, it said that some ridiculed them. Kind of they said they're drunk. And I guess it's not surprising, is it? The whole idea of someone speaking in another language they've never learned does seem ridiculous. And as I said, if we listen to people speaking in tongues, it can seem pretty weird too. So kind of just building off of that, why then call it the forgotten gift? It seems to me that there are two extremes with tongues. There's the it seems ridiculous extreme that we've just been reading about. It seems so ridiculous that we reject it because, that can't be God. You know, how crazy is that? And the other extreme is that kind of it seems sensationalist. And like the church in Corinth, where our reading came from, kind of we end up getting obsessed with it. And then other people look at us and think we're ridiculous. So kind of the two kind of do hang together kind of in a way. And often because of that, people, even if they do speak in tongues, well, they end up giving up on it. They stop using it. They kind of almost kind of forget about it. The novelty wears off and it kind of becomes the forgotten gift. Does it matter? I think it probably does. Why does it matter? I think it matters, as I said to begin with, because it seems to me it's one of those things that God gives us that can really help when times are tough and when we're trying to hang on to God. And because it can be something that can develop our relationship with God. It just seems to me, tongues is a curious thing, really. If you go through the history of the church, it feels like for many centuries it was forgotten. There are times if you go through history when God would do something, and part of that would be people would be speaking in tongues. But for many centuries, it felt like it was kind of completely forgotten, not just by individuals in their lives, but by the church as a whole. So only really with the rise of the Pentecostals at the beginning of the last century that suddenly tongues got back kind of into common usage in the church, and it took place gradually over last century. And when it came back, suddenly people wanted to use it and wanted to do it. But then somehow it feels like we've lost it. I was chatting to Helen as we were praying before the meeting, and she was just saying, it's really weird, actually. When was the last time you went to a meeting where someone shared a tongue and it was interpreted? And a few years ago, that would have been a commonplace thing in a lot of church contexts. But kind of it's like it's dropped off of the radar. And I think we're losing something because of that. And I think part of the problem is that we've made tongues something it was never intended to be. And I think it comes out of our own need. And because of what we need, we try to look to this as something to kind of solve that. I think inside most of us, there is a deep-seated need to be accepted. And that is true of us when we become Christians. We can find it really hard to believe that God really accepts us. I don't know about you. I had many years as a Christian kind of believing kind of I was the one that got in by mistake. You know, I prayed the prayer and God had to accept me, but did he really want me, you know? It took me years to really believe that God would love me and accept me and call me for who I am. But actually, the more I talk to people, the more I just realize what a common struggle that is. That sense of not being good enough, that does God really accept me? And we often look for evidence that God would accept us. And often gifts like this can be the answer to that. Or if I spoke in tongues, God gave me that gift, then I would really know God accepts me. And that would deal with that. And of course, actually, it doesn't necessarily solve that problem, really. There's a problem with doubt, you know. If you doubt that God accepts you, if you then speak in tongues, what do you end up doing? Well, if you've got a problem with doubt, you end up doubting it's really tongues and you kind of don't use it because the problem is with doubt and not accepting that God accepts you in the first place. But we kind of think that tongues will solve that problem. And of course, actually, tongues doesn't solve that problem. We still have the same struggles. It just kind of move on to the next thing. The other thing is that most of us kind of think we ought to be better Christians than we are. Anyone else have that issue? May just be the vicar, you know, I don't know. I mean, you may all kind of know that you are super Christian, you know, that you are wearing your pants on the outside of your trousers and you can fly through the air. But most of us think I ought to have a better prayer life. I ought to be better at talking to people about Jesus. I ought to be better at praying for people. You know, I wish there was more of the power of God apparent in my life. And we look at something like tongues and think, well, if I was filled with the Spirit and I was speaking in tongues, oh, I would solve all of the world's problems. Who would need, you know, Mr. Cameron? I could put everything to rights, if kind of God's power came on me in that sort of way. And we look at tongues and we think, kind of, that's going to be the thing that's going to kind of solve everything. And of course, we speak in tongues. And actually, we still aren't wearing our underpants on the outside. We're still struggling with our quiet times. We're still struggling to have the confidence to talk to someone about Jesus. And we kind of think, oh, well, it hasn't solved everything. And actually what we end up doing is dismissing it because of that. And we kind of miss out on what God has for us because we've kind of made it something that was never actually intended to be. So if it's such a mess, why bother at all? Well, I think the main reason we bother is because it's a gift from God, our Heavenly Father, to us. The older I get, the more I seem to prefer giving gifts to receiving them. That's not that I wouldn't like a new camera, darling, just in case you kind of, you know, let's just keep that one on the table. No, but you know, sometimes there's a real, when you're a child, just unwrapping them at Christmas is great. When you get older, watching others unwrap the things you've given, and I don't know about you, it's really lovely when either you're giving or when you're receiving, you receive something that someone has really clearly thought about you, and they know what makes you tick, and it's just the perfect thing. I'm going to embarrass someone now. I have two presents that particularly stand out that Dee gave me over the years. One is a barbecue wok. It is like a wok, but it's got holes in it, and you stick it on the barbecue. And I just love roasted vegetables, and I can roast them on the barbecue in my barbecue wok. The other is this kind of plastic thing that looks a bit weird that you can make dressings in. I don't suppose they cost a fortune. You don't have to admit to that. But I tell you what, they were just perfectly made for me. I love dressings on my salads. I love roasted vegetables. Dee just knows me, and they were just so tuned to who I am, you know? And that's the great thing about gifts. It often isn't the fact that something's costly. It's the thought that's gone into it, isn't it? And the fact that the person that gave it to us really knows us. And the Bible says that this is a gift of God to his people. And actually, God knows us better than anyone. And God wants to give us good gifts. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the most precious of all, and they all kind of flow out of that. And actually, he knows what's best for us. It's a gift from him. And we should receive it as such, with a sense of gratitude. The next thing is that whole thing about edify, that kind of strange word that we don't, on the whole, use very much. It just literally means to kind of build someone up. I remember just a story of Jackie Pullinger, who's a missionary who's been working in Hong Kong and kind of around China for many, many years. When she first went to Hong Kong, she went there to try and tell the most broken people in that city, the addicts and the people whose lives were a total mess, that God loved them. And wherever she went, it seemed to go crashingly wrong. And it got to a point when she started to pray in tongues and things started to change. And she started to find that actually when she prayed in tongues, she found herself speaking to the right person. Then there was an American guy that was out there with her, and she talked to him about it. He said, well, I pray in tongues, but I never do it. Well, why didn't you do it? Well, it never felt like it made a difference, he said. And her description of it, I thought, was kind of fascinating. She said, it's like vitamins. Does anyone here take vitamins? Someone must take vitamins, you know. I ought to take vitamins. I'm a bloke, you know. I'm not good at that sort of stuff. Do you feel different when you're taking your vitamins? Do you feel, wow, I'm so full of energy, you know. I'm going to run a marathon because I've taken my vitamins this morning. No. Does that mean you don't take your vitamins? You know that when you're taking them, you may not feel any different, but you know that they're feeding you. And they're building you up. They're giving you resistance against kind of, I remember it was used to be Halib Orange when I was a kid. It's meant to stop you from getting colds. Now, people of a certain vintage nodded and smiled. That really does date you guys. I'm really sorry about that. You don't feel any different. You just hope you don't get a cold in winter. Whether that worked or not, I don't quite know. But tongues is a bit like that. We think it should make us feel different. So when it doesn't feel like it does, we dismiss it. But actually, it's like vitamins. It doesn't make us feel any different. But when we give ourselves to it, God uses it to build us up. That whole business about praying when you don't know what to pray. The times that I've not known how to pray for someone, but then I've prayed in tongues, and then somehow I've known what to pray in English, is uncanny. It happens so often when I do that, because kind of it's connecting me to God. The other side of it is I just think that it's one of the ways that we can use to keep focused on the presence of God. It's about our spirit praying to God. And that's Paul's big gripe, is actually he's saying you need to use your brains as well. And believe me, guys, we do. We shouldn't be switching our brains off. But what Paul is saying is, doesn't diminish it. He's saying when you pray out of your spirit with this gift, it's like the spirit within you is connecting us with the spirit of the Father. There's this connection going on. It's a way we can press into God. And I'm coming into land. I know everyone says, and he says he's finishing and he never does. I really will finish. And I just really want to finish kind of with my personal experience. Some of you know there are times when I get depressed. When I get depressed, I find my relationship with God incredibly difficult. And I know a lot of people that face depression would say the same is true. You kind of think because you're a Christian, you should somehow, your relationship with God should kind of keep on going through all of that. And actually, if you're down about everything and everything seems irrelevant, what actually kind of, you know, God does as well. But one of the things I've observed over the years, even though there might be all sorts of stuff going on in my head, one of the things that when my brain doesn't keep functioning, because tongues is a spirit thing, somehow it does keep functioning. Somehow when I'm in the worst possible place, the one thing I seem at times to be able to do is to pray in a tongue. There may be no human words that I can find. There may be no human desire even to pray, because it may just seem so black and all I might want to do is to run away. But actually, just to somehow express to him what I can't express with my mind or anything else through this language that he's given me seems to make a difference. And it just seems to me, yes, vitamins are about kind of keeping us strong and fit, and tongues is great when we feel well, but also sometimes it's just the one thing we can hang on to when everything else is absolute rubbish. And that's why it just seems to me that actually if it becomes the forgotten gift, if it slips out of usage in the church, as it's done for centuries at times, there's a real danger that we miss out on something that God has given us to help us grow our relationship with him and to help make us stronger. I'm going to land now. At the end, if you would like someone to pray with you, we would love to pray with you, particularly if you would like to receive this gift. The Bible tells us that if we want, we ask. If we ask, we receive. And we'd love to pray with you. If you speak in tongues and would be willing to pray for someone that would like to be prayed for that, I would just say, just come forward and just mill around and kind of connect up together. Because sometimes it's just helpful for someone that's got the gift to pray with you and help you get started. But kind of one of the things that's really on my heart, because I just know how easy it is actually those of us that have spoken in tongues or do speak in tongues, but for one reason or another kind of have forgotten or stopped. And I just feel God saying, kind of pick it up again. Don't let it be forgotten. Use it. It's been a gift. Don't leave it gathering dust in the cupboard. Like so many Christmas presents do, get it out and use it. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you do give good gifts to your children. Lord, that you bless us with so much. Lord, most of all, I just thank you for Jesus. And thank you for his spirit that lives in our hearts when we trust you. Thank you. And Lord, would you teach us to receive every gift you give to us as a gift from you? Would you give us faith to walk in it, to use it? And please, would you help us not to forget anything you give us, especially this gift of tongues? Amen.